We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Bart Winkler, and I'm here with Chuck Freeman. Chuck and Winkler is back. Chuck, are you still there?
Yes, I am. Good to meet you. How you doing? First time on the show. Good to have you. Thanks for reaching out to me. Working on Lockdown Brewers.
I've always wanted to connect with you. I've admired your work from afar.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I used to do a show on a Milwaukee sports radio station. Two of them, in fact. And then they realized, well, we're not any good. Me and the partner I was with. So here I am doing podcasts.
This is really a bummer. So when you're on a remote and it doesn't work.
Yep.
And then you come back on and it's working, but then you're skating on thin ice. You know,
like you don't know when it's not going to work again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we started recording and Chuck and I talked off air for 15 minutes. One thing that Chuck had said was, I love StreamYard. It's so idiot proof. Even I can do it. And then I hit record and then we couldn't hear each other.
You mean all that stuff I just said a second ago about not being on Milwaukee sports radio? That was for real?
We're
live?
Yeah, that we heard. But now I'm worried that
we're going to fall off?
Yeah, I think now we're not going to get our best. I think our best is lost now.
Yeah.
I'm worried about that. Anyway, how are you, son of a bitch?
Apparently a lot of people don't think we have our best anymore.
No, specifically people with titles Director of Programming and Vice President of Place.
But not the listeners, though. The listeners, the fans, the most important people in the world, they think we're right on. We're.
And you know who really thinks? You know who really thinks that we're electric and undefeated and unbeatable is you and I ourselves.
Although sometimes I doubt it because that phone don't ring. But you and I are doing just fine without it. That's great. You know, we're just talking about
That's what we tell ourselves every day.
That's what we tell ourselves. You're on TV. I'm on TV. We're doing podcasts and yeah, life's good. I'm not getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Don't have to answer to a heck of a lot. I'm on a KFIZ in Fond du Lac. I love being out with them. You're doing your thing. But yeah. Hey, your dad said it on a show I did last week. I interviewed your dad. It was the most, non-controversial interview with a Winkler I've ever done. Your dad said, and I'm on this radio show. I do a radio show in Fond du Lac. I do a half-hour local show, and I had your dad because he's a local legend, Hall of Fame soccer coach. And he said his language would be a little cleaner than yours.
Oh, yeah. Well, that old greasy fuck knows exactly.
The first 2 minutes I talked to him, I was like, I hear Bart's tenor in his voice. I can just tell there's a similarity. A little tenor.
Without the rage or the 40 years of trying to prove to your first boss that you can make it in this business.
How are you? Well, we just did this about a month ago. People,
So now let's do it and kind of do a little mini show. Let's talk about some stuff.
Oh, only I'm not getting paid for it. You are.
I will make about $7.50, like $7.50 off the YouTube of this.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe a few bucks off of Blue Wire. So I could send you like, you want me to send you a $10 gift card to Ala Roma? I'd be happy to.
Ala Roma and Fond du Lac?
Yeah.
Or a Euro at Oakland Euros. That'd be fine.
Did I text you when I saw David Stearns there?
The Mets general manager?
Yeah, he was there 3 weeks ago. I saw him. He's crossing the street with like a huge bag.
He was in Milwaukee?
3 weeks ago. I saw him.
The former Brewer general manager, I thought he had long left. I mean,
I think he was in town for the playoff run. Well, you were there. You didn't see him?
Cleaning out his office or what?
Yeah, maybe.
No, didn't.
I guess we could talk about the Brewers first.
Yeah.
So my whole take is, fine. And we've talked a lot about the baseball playoffs, like that's mm-hmm. getting a lot of attention. It's just like 162 games, and especially like you, dude, doing Lockdown Brewers, investing in every game, every series, every transaction, building towards something, building towards what? Building towards a 27-hour playoff?
I know.
Like, I think when we think back, so we were able to share a lot of time in 2018 in a playoff run. Like, that was a run. First of all, the regular season, they went to St. Louis and then got into the playoffs. Then they go to Chicago, game 163. So there's already, like, it's building. Then they have a series against Colorado, a series they win. Then they go on and they just continue. And it's like, it was a playoff run.
Yeah.
And you don't get that anymore. You can if you like Philadelphia is on a playoff run, Texas, because they got through that first round. But if you don't, and the Brewers have not a lot, and then all these teams go and win world or go to the World Series, and then all of a sudden Arizona is like world beaters. I just think that for the Brewers, whatever model is happening, this bites of the apple, which is fine, it's getting you into the playoffs. But as a fan, like, my interest is not going to be there as high if I know that we're just going to, I don't know. It's like you get to the top of the mountain, and then before you can get at the top, you just like fall down to your death.
Well, that's what I kind of talked about on Lockdown Brewers, Bart. I just said,
like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe. Go to YouTube. And what I said is, well, we're not like the mid-major who's in the NCAA tournament just thankful they're going to the big dance, and whatever happens is a bonus. That's how I feel like sometimes it's treated. We're like Ohio University, the Bobcats. Oh, thank God we won the Mid-American Conference. Now we're going dancing. Sure, we're going to get it blown up by 25 points. Maybe we pull off the upset. But, you know, 4 days later, our season is going to end in a 11 a.m. loss to a 3 seed. But that's how we are for the Brewers these days. We win the NL Central, a horrible league. All right. Then we get to the big dance, and it's over in a matter of hours. Week later.
Like, what's even the point?
Yeah. I mean, one playoff win, I think, since 2018. They haven't won a playoff series since Colorado series in 2018. You and I almost got a fist fight the next morning after a game, too. But we won't talk about that.
Well, you accuse me of falling asleep drunk, which I may have all these years later. I may have dozed.
Did that appear on TV? The picture of you with the blue coat?
No, I was on TV.
Yeah.
That night, because the seats were really good and I was like standing up waving. The picture of the blue coat, Imig took that.
Okay.
And either tweeted it out or I tweeted it out after he sent it to me. And then I was like, you know, and then you were like, I saw you asleep. And for some reason, I took that as you're the worst piece of shit that's ever existed. I fucking hate you. And then I was like all defensive and mad for no reason. I'm sorry.
No, you're right the first time.
Oh, yeah, see.
I don't even remember. I remember something about you falling asleep. I don't remember what we got in such a fight about, but I don't know why we'd get a fight over why we'd get over a fight over that. I don't know why, but oh well.
Because it was like 9:30 that morning and we hadn't gotten a fight yet.
Yeah.
So
well, I thought about us, you know, during when the season started, and this postseason started. I said, boy, what a time for Milwaukee to miss out on Chuck and Winkler, because we had the Packers, we had this, we had Damian Lillard becoming a Milwaukee Buck. I mean, what better time to have you and I on the radio than right now? Is there? God.
Well, that's what I go. Now, okay, I don't want to be all like Milwaukee Jason Barrett again on this podcast.
Yeah, no, we don't. Breakdown
Sports Radio.
No, we don't.
But I still like that's where there's what's missing is something happens. People have a rush to the radio. Yeah. Like there's news stations on all day that no one listens to. Like a lot of people do, but a lot of people just don't. And when there's bad weather coming, then I go to it. You know, then I flip on the weather. Mm-hmm. With sports, you can talk. And I know that Packers are king. I get that. But when Damian Lillard gets traded to the Bucks, like people are rushing to you. You can feel it. You know they are. Yeah. And I think that that's underserved.
It is.
But I'm a bad. But I can't have that opinion because I'm on the outside. And it makes me look petty.
No, it doesn't though, because you've been there and just trying to do what's best for Milwaukee Sports Radio. And we've always done that. And let's face it, what's best for Milwaukee Sports Radio, I don't think you're gonna get any argument is having us on a show to talk about these things. I'll be honest. I'm not gonna bullshit you. That's true. They know it. We know it.
The Freems and I, to give you an insight, to give people an insight on just how strongly we feel about what we can offer, we think that the stations should get in a bidding war for us and then give us a morning show on one station and an afternoon show on the other.
No, I don't want to do early morning shows ever again. I don't want to come on here and, you know,
we'll do it anyway. I mean,
but yeah, my point was, yeah, it would have been great coming on, you know, you and I talking about Damian Lillard and talking about this, you know, how bad coaches are in college and pro football and this Brewers week run of 27 hours and an outlet for our fans too. Again.
Yeah. The problem is we're now profiting off ourselves instead of some nameless corporation. Yeah.
We're still employed.
Chuck and I are actually doing like better and like what we're doing. But we just have this desire to work for the man again and be treated worse and make less money for some reason.
Somebody very close to me said this to me the other day. She goes, so I said I was on the Bill Michaels show on Tuesday. Oh, that's great for you. Oh, that's fantastic. You know, it keeps you relevant. I said, relevant? Yeah, it keeps your name out there. Well, let's see. I'm on Lockdown Brewers. I'm on Channel 4, KFIZ in Fond du Lac, AP Network that's everywhere. I'm still there. I'm still around. It's like just because I'm not on Milwaukee Sports Radio doesn't mean I'm not. Doesn't mean I'm still relevant.
Oh, friends, I was listening. I was able to drive a couple of weeks ago, and I was listening to Bill, and they said that Freems was coming up, and I got all giddy, and then you were late for your hit.
It was. You know what? And I took a shower. I took a shower. It's the only time I missed it all year. And I took a shower, and I thought, and my alarm was going. I set my alarm for 12:30 because I'm on Bill's show every Tuesday at 12:30. And I set the alarm, and all of a sudden, oh my God, I got out of the shower ringing wet. My alarm's going off. I'm getting messages from Grant Bilsey that, hey, you know, where the hell are you? You know, and I called him back and I'm sorry. So I was on at 1 o'clock, but I missed it.
No, it is just pronounced Bills.
I know. I call him Bilsey.
Oh, Coach Bilsey?
Coach Bilsey.
Okay. I didn't know.
I call him Bilsey.
Okay. Sure. Good cover.
Why do I call him Bilsey?
Okay.
And he just lets me go.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
TIAA is on a mission. Why? Because 54% of Black Americans don't have enough savings to retire. So in collaboration with big name artists like Wyclef Jean, TIAA released Paper Right, new music inspiring a new financial future. With 100% of streaming sales going to a nonprofit that teaches students how to invest. Stream Paper Right now and help close the gap.
Brewers. The GM talks Tuesday, said absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And we're so trained to like ask questions we know we won't get answers to. Like, media, and I'm not ripping on anyone, I'm not faulting anyone, but we ask questions like, now I know you won't answer, but are you going to make any trades? And then he's like, yeah, we want to trade. I know you won't answer. Like, I know you can't get into the specifics. Like, we give that cover for him. But they didn't, they say nothing. We don't know any more about Council. We don't know any more about Burns. We don't know any more about, I saw a great tweet about Council. That was like, guys, we don't know where Dad's going to go. We don't know what he wants to do, but he's not coming home. We just have to admit that he's not coming home.
That wasn't one of the Council boys who put that one out, did it?
That was Jack.
Oh, it was? He's not coming home? Oh, he's not coming home at night because he's working somewhere.
No, just some guy, but I talked about this the other day, but in 2014, when the Packers lost the NFC Championship, we always mention it once a show, You needed a change. They knew it. They went with it. Are we at that place with Council? Like, he is so good, and he's so smart, and we love him. But this guy purposely set up a situation where they were going to get booed at home in the playoffs with Winker. And it's not his fault. It's baseball, right? It's baseball. And they lose in these fluky ways. Longoria catch, Chris Taylor catch. Who's the guy? Grisham missing a ball. They lose in fluky ways. But at some point, don't you just have to say, maybe we just need like a change in the vibe? I don't know. I'm not saying fire Council, even though I did the other day. But you know what I mean?
Well, here to that point, I would say this. They won 92 games. They don't have a very good team. If you look at it, look at that team. Look at that lineup. How do they win? I've said this all year long. How do they win 92 games in that lineup? Well, their pitching was so good. And then when the pitching failed them in the postseason, you know, they're trying to have to win games with two or three runs. That's not going to get it done. That's just like a microcosm of the whole season. And those two pitchers that pitched in those games, I'm not faulting Burns and I'm not faulting Peralta, but you know, we're asking those guys to be perfect out there because the offense is so bad. That lineup is just brutal offensively most of the season. So they won 92 games. So to your question, I would say, is it Council's fault? And yeah, he makes a couple of bad decisions in the postseason. I don't get it. But isn't it a point where, I don't know, the upper front office, we have to have a new philosophy there because, well, we got
young guys coming up. Yeah, I'm not saying it's Council's fault. I'm saying
But I mean, look at the groceries he had to cook with though this year.
Oh, sure. And maybe there should be a philosophical change. And then immediately I thought, well, let's go get a bunch of bats. Let's finally be a team that has bats. And then you look at San Diego, they've got all the bats and they won 79 games.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Baseball, I just think it's so fluid. We always hold people accountable for situations they can't control. You know?
Well, lost to an Arizona team that right now is looking like one of the best teams in baseball.
They shouldn't even be in the playoffs.
Well, I agree with your tweet you put out the other day about less teams in the playoffs. I'm with you on that. See, if you had put topics like that out there and about bad coaches in college and the NFL, you and I would have probably have never fought. Where was this when I needed you?
What are you talking about? I came up with all the topics.
You did?
Yeah.
I don't know about that. We both came up with topics.
Yeah, we did. But when I do come up with a good topic, I'm like, fuck. You know, it would have been, but no. So I've come up with the coaches topic before.
Yeah.
Although I frame it as I could coach 9 wins instead of saying like, hey, Freems, these coaches, man, they're making boneheaded decisions. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like they get too much credit than they deserve? I go, Matt LaFleur sucks. I could do his job 9 wins. And you're just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, so that's where we start fighting. Because I'm like, what?
See why this would work now? Because I have grown. I have grown. I recognize it.
Well, because when you say you can coach, I mean, none of us could coach in the NFL. But these guys, it's amazing how these guys over, I mean, what
Cristobal doesn't know to kneel down. Like, what is that?
That's you coach, you're there in the office 12 months a year, 15 hours a day. What? How does that happen? How does nobody on that assistant coaching staff tell him to take a knee there? I don't get it. Last night, the decision, which it could, I wish it would have back for a number of reasons, the Packers would have won, but how do you trust your field goal kicker to kick a 52 yarder over trying to get a foot? Huh?
Oh yeah, McDaniels, yeah.
What? That's up there with the Miami decision.
But
and then you give the Packers great field position if you don't make it. As it is, if you make the field goal, Packers can go right down and tie the game.
So my issue with Monday night is that LaFleur lost to that guy. Like LaFleur lost to that guy. So I tweeted out on Tuesday, name me one thing LaFleur does good. Because I am pretty out on LaFleur right now. We've seen a sample size for 5 years. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like he's grown. I feel like he makes the same game decision management things. I feel like we were supposed to get this flashy Shanahan offense. There's this great quote from George Kittle once who says sometimes Shanahan will run a play that will not work on purpose because we know it's going to set something up in the fourth quarter. And then I saw another tweet where it's like, I think LaFleur just likes to go run, run, pass. Like it's the 1980s, and we haven't come up with any of these decisions. Where is this genius LaFleur that I thought I would see? And so I put out this tweet, and somehow it came to be like, Packer fans are at the stage of having a bad quarterback where they're blaming the coach. Mm-hmm. And while Jordan Love did not play well on Monday at all, I think it's way too early to make a decision on him. And I think we've seen it. I've seen more like flashes from Jordan Love this year than I've seen confidence building moments from our coach. And I think that it is like, I don't think Matt, I think there's a possibility that we could win a Super Bowl one day with Jordan Love as our quarterback. I don't think we're ever going to win a Super Bowl with Matt LaFleur as our coach.
I'm actually encouraged by Love's performance. Now you can look at that and you'll say, 3 interceptions. Look at the bad decisions. Well, Brett Favre made those type of decisions back in the 90s when you were at Woodworth Middle School. Okay. You remember watching that?
Roseno Elementary.
Oh, elementary. Okay. But I mean, you know, that Favre made those same decisions.
No, Favre snuck into my college. He did 1 year. A couple years.
Stuck in your college.
Well, not like that, but Favre was a quarterback from when I was in second grade until my junior year of college.
Okay.
It's a long time.
Thought you meant he went catting around at lacrosse. I was like, what?
It may have happened.
Who knows? He better or else. But I'm okay with Love. I'm encouraged with Love. Yeah, he's getting some interceptions, but this is a learning. He's going to learn from all this. LaFleur. Now, the thing is, they didn't have Aaron Jones last night. That's a big
right. Loss. And Bakhtiari's been hurt.
And Bakhtiari's
and gone the receivers forever. Are all like, 15 years old.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not I didn't expect much out of the Packers this year. I was surprised the way they won that game down in Chicago. Now the Bears are proving to be bad, but my expectations weren't that high. Yeah, and I thought that LaFleur had some success. You know, he's a great regular season coach and all that, but you had Aaron Rodgers. Okay, let's not discount him. And I know you don't like him, but let's face it, Rodgers got that guy some more, bought him some more years in Green Bay. Now, we'll see. If they have a bad year, I don't think LaFleur's job is in jeopardy. Do you?
No, I don't think that. The Packers move slowly anyway, but yeah. I don't think that the NFL rationale, moving slowly or not, you don't, even if they go, like, that's the other thing. We don't expect a lot this year. Like, people are reacting. People come into the season expecting 6 or 7 wins and then reacting as if we should have 10 or 11 wins. Mm-hmm. You know, that horse collar play.
Yeah.
Where Watson should have scored.
Yeah.
Last season. That's what we'd be talking about for 10 minutes. Because it would have cost us a win, and we'd be so mad. This year, it's like, who cares? You know, we'll win, lose, whatever. We'll come up with whatever we come up with. The goal is to figure out what's going on with Jordan Love. I tweeted something about Love, too, because I'm really big on these 5 games he played, he should have played last year. I don't think Rodgers should have played at 4-8. His thumb was hurt.
I agree.
I think he kind of forced his way, and he almost did make the playoffs, but also they did not. And you would have got those 5 games of learning, because I think there's some things Love did. Love, I think he has routes down where he knows where he wants to throw, but he's got like tunnel vision right now. He doesn't see. That's why those interceptions happen, at least the first two. He didn't see the guys. And so that sucks. He's got to play through that. You got to learn through that. You got to grow. So there are going to be, and I know he's been in the system for 3 years, but he hasn't played. Oh, one game here, one game there. That doesn't matter. He needs to play. He needs to play consistently, and he's getting that. And I say something like that, and so definitive with, no, Bart, this is who he is. Like, after last night, we have decided, or Monday night, we have decided this is who he is. Jordan Love bad. Packer fans, LOL. 30 years of misery. And I don't think we can make any determination like that. You can look and say, that individual game was bad. That individual game was okay. I can't say Jordan Love is bad. I can't say he's fine. No. I can't say he's good. There's way not enough data for that.
No, but I mean, do you feel encouraged, though, like I do about the guy, that even though he's throwing a few interceptions, that's to be expected, and there's something there, as the great Tom Parker, our former program director, used to say, there's something there, right?
There is something there. There's something there in Daniel Jones. There's something there in Justin Fields. There's something there in some of these other quarterbacks. So Love needs to get past that, because I think if he's at a level of, you know, there's really only 8 quarterbacks that are franchise quarterbacks. And if he's not a franchise quarterback, then I think that they should maybe move on. But you can't determine that right now.
Yeah. I mean, again, the slack I'm going to cover here, or cut here, is that LaFleur has not had all his guys this year. One guy or another has been out. Sometimes a handful of those guys, some of the guys you're really counting on offense. Didn't have Alexander on defense last night. So that's the slack I'm going to cut. The Raiders aren't a very good team, but the Packers aren't a very good team. They got a few nice things on defense. They probably should have switched defensive coordinators in the offseason, but we just have to grow. This is it. But you know what? You know what's coming out these days? Oh, this is like those Packers teams of the 70s and 80s. I'm tired of hearing that, because, you know, we were spoiled from 30 years of great football or playoff type football. But we're going to have to grow with these guys. And that's
no, this is, how I would explain. This Packer teams of 1992 and 2008.
Yeah.
When we had a first year quarterback for the first time.
Yep. Absolutely.
Like, I hate that too. It's like,
we'd be making for bad sports radio if we're going to agree all the time.
Well, that I blame on you, because I'm the cerebral one, and you've caught up to me, and you're like, well,
I've been agreeing with stuff you say on Twitter all the time, and I'm like, what's going on here?
I didn't know. Would you agree on this one, that if the Milwaukee Bucks roster was the exact Celtics roster, and the Celtics had Giannis and Dame and Middleton, people would crown the Celtics. Just as the, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who's here.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, of course.
Why do they do that? Why is it this way?
Well, because people want to shit on Milwaukee. That's why.
But it's not that. It's a love for Boston. They have won one title in 40 years.
I know, but it's that, you know, that's the way it is. And those, you know, if, same with the Lakers. If the Lakers had this roster, it would be the same thing. Yeah, no, I know. I think that's just the way it is. I like
the over under on their wins, Chuck, is 48 and a half. That is a, like illegal. For the ball.
48 and a half?
Yeah.
Are they expecting Giannis to sit out half of those games?
What people don't understand is, like, people are like, oh, they traded for Dame, and then the Celtics traded for Drew, which all of a sudden he's elite. They traded for Dame with Giannis. My big point is you have two guys. Like, remember all the years where Giannis got stuck by the wall? Mm-hmm. And remember all the years where Dame had no one to pass to? Now they're playing together.
Antoine, Chris Middleton.
This is going to be the best NBA team we've seen since Warriors with KD.
I think so. Now the key is the health of all these guys. That's the
Yeah, I'm a little worried about that.
That's the X factor there. And I think that's where the 48 wins comes in. How many times are these guys going to be played together? Are we just going to piece it together all regular season and then get to the postseason? Then, you know, it's everybody's on. I think it's going to be like this part this winter. Is it going to be like, oh yeah, the Bucks are playing Oklahoma City tonight. Oh, but Dame is sitting out. Oh, but Giannis is sitting out. Oh, it's Middleton's turn to sit out. Is it going to be one of those? Oh,
we have two superstars that
we haven't had the big three that play together all year long. This is the first time they did. Oh,
well, I don't know about that. I think they'll play. I think they want to fine tune this thing.
Well, I hope so. You know, the regular season is just so long. Preseason should be.
Well, that's why I'm glad they made this trade, because now it won't be super boring.
No, I had, and it seems weird to say this though. My interest in the Bucks had been at a lower level right now because it's like, eh, you know, the last 2 years have been disappointing, but getting Dame Lillard just kind of just reinvigorated me a little bit on this. I mean, Damian Lillard, man, just, you know, anytime that guy can put up a 60 spot.
Do you think we would be talking a lot about Brewers Stadium?
Well, I think it's going to get done. Although in this state, you know, it's going to be a political football. I just think it's going to get done. They're not losing the Brewers. We're not losing the Brewers.
I don't think anybody wants them to leave. I just think it's like, we gotta go through all this stuff.
I think the mayor of Milwaukee was right. Cavalier Johnson, all that parking lot they got out there, let's do something with that. Let's build a brew district.
Freeves' team beer district?
Why wouldn't I be?
Are you an urbanist?
I don't know what the hell you mean by that, but I'm telling you, I was all for the deer district. I love the deer district.
You know, because there's this part of Twitter, urbanist Twitter, okay, where they want to improve cities every day.
Yeah.
And I agree with a lot, like tear down 794, that whole hunk of junk. I'm with that. Do something with the Brewers shit. Yes, I'm with that. And then people get like annoyed. It's like, oh Jesus, we can't change everything.
Well, everything is turning into political. Well, if you believe in this, you must be a Democrat. Well, if you believe in this, you must be a Republican. If you believe in this, no, I think, you know, I don't, the 790, I don't live in Milwaukee, the city of Milwaukee, so that doesn't really bother me. I'm there enough, but around Miller Park, around AmFam Field, why haven't we built around there? Why haven't we built bars and places for people to go to during the season and out of season? Why haven't we? Why haven't we tried that out? Not once.
I wish we could like on a map, like on Sim City. Remember that old game?
Yeah.
I wish I could just like move the ballpark closer to Pato. And that closer than to downtown, like you should have to get it.
That's close enough, though, isn't it? It's a mile away.
Yeah, but if you were at a baseball game and you want to go to Pato, you're getting in a cab.
Well, you just go that back road, right?
Yeah, but you're not walking that. It's too far.
It's probably a good thing that it's not within walking distance. It's probably a good thing for our wallets.
Well, yeah, but you think Pato would be on top of all that shit?
Well, I think it's in a good spot. It's right between both big arenas. It's in a fine spot. It is. I don't know. I don't have any problem with it.
I'm just trying to get cars off the roads. Give the roads back to the people.
Well, what do you think of my idea of building a beer district?
I think it would be so much better if you could just swap Blue Mound. If you could put Blue Mound where the highway is, and if the highway was where Blue Mound was, if this would alleviate yeah. so much.
Of course it would, but
it'd be great.
We can't do that. The stadium got further and further. You know, we're going stadiums. Our basketball arenas are getting further and further north. Arena, Bradley Center.
Yeah, every 20 years. Every 20 years, it moves a block.
We're going to be in Whitefish Bay pretty soon, even you know, past our living quarters. But baseball stadiums are moving south. So,
yep, every 30 years, it moves a couple inches south.
Yes. So pretty soon we're going to be in Greendale. Well, not in our lifetime, but yeah, I think this whole stadium thing's going to get figured out. I'm not too worried about it. They're staying. I'm just disappointed that we're not talking more about the Brewers and Dodgers today, but seeing the team that beat us is up 2-0 on LA. The Dodgers just thought they'd roll the helmets out and win this series. That's a passionate Diamondbacks team. I was in their locker room. I had to cover their locker room for AP after the game. And LaValle, their manager, man, you saw Council's post-game talk with his team after they won the division. LaValle maybe want to run through a brick wall.
Yeah, that Craig doesn't do that. That's why it might be maybe time.
My God, LaValle, he was dropping F-bombs. I'm not saying you have to do that, but man, I was in there. I wanted to play for him. I wanted to grab a bat.
Yeah, Craig's got his players being all like, I don't know, man. Maybe next year. Oh, geez.
Well, that's Yelich. Yelich says, well, you know, we got beat by a better team, and you know, maybe next year we'll. I don't like that mentality.
Well, no, Ant Nazio's son probably wrote that script for Yelich to say because
Yelich. And then one thing though, on the press conference on Tuesday morning, with Matt Arnold, somebody asked about Yelich. Oh, yeah, he had a great year for us. I don't think he had a great year. Nobody pressed him yet. So I would have said, I mean, if this was New York, you could say, so 275 and 19 homers for a guy you're paying $200 million, that's great in your mind? That's a great year for a guy who is a 40 home run, 300 batting average type of guy?
See, you can't press him as much because in New York, you're not going to run into these people. You're not going to run into David Stearns at Brooklyn Euros.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Green Bay, it's like they all shop at the same fucking Aldi.
B Square Mall.
Yeah, they're not going to be like, you know, I can't. When my wife lived in Green Bay and I was up there, I literally saw Mark Murphy like once a month.
See, I do you think that's it though? You have to deal with these guys because, and you know, when Craig does get edgy up there or Budenholzer gets edgy up there, people are like, oh, you know, McCarthy did the same thing. You know, he would just, you know, he'd be like Ralph Cramden up there. He'd just stop and huff and puff and people would back away. I think these guys like Craig got pressed for something a couple of weeks ago and, you know, Craig does this stuff and, you know, now's not the time for that. Not him going to New York, but it was something else. I think
yeah, it's not market size necessarily. It's market space. Like Green Bay is so small. Like they're not trying to be friends with them, but also you see them shopping.
Well, I don't think you need to put a gun to their heads, but I think Christian Yelich didn't have a very good year. In my opinion, okay? And this was a disappointing exit. And the man and the GM said, Bart, they had a great year. No, they didn't have a great year because you end it in 27 hours. That's not good enough. That shouldn't be good enough for me. Shouldn't be good enough for you. Shouldn't be good enough for anybody.
If I was the manager or coach of a team, I would invite a fan every week to sit in, or I would say, all right, somebody read some tweets about me. I gotta actually respond to the people. That's what I would do. Yeah. Now in real life, I block everyone who insults me, but if I was a coach, I'd be different.
I thought this, here's what I think a coach or a manager or a football coach should do. At the end of the game, they put the microphone right at home plate. And the fans, you know, Craig Council walks out there. Craig, why did you bet Jesse Winker, who hasn't played for you in 3 months and has got a bad everything? Why are you batting him? Let him answer the question. These guys should come out.
Why did he do that? Why did
he? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Arnold said because he had some production at AAA.
So yeah, but they had to know. They set up a situation where they were going to get booed. What the fuck are you doing?
I sneezed. I have a dusty studio here.
No, I don't mean what are you doing. I mean, Brewers, what the fuck are you doing? I saw you sneeze. It was fine. You can excuse yourself. I've been coughing all summer.
I don't get it. And to do it two nights in a row, pinch hit him. I mean, what are we doing here?
Yeah, it's like, hey, for the fans that didn't see it last night.
Yep.
Here's the attraction. We're going to do it again.
We'll do it again for you for those of you who missed it in game one.
Yeah, so stupid. All right, well, that's all I got for you today.
Yeah, you know, Locked On Brewers, Spotify, Apple, YouTube, and Bart Winkle will be on with me next week.
What do you want to talk about? Oh, Brewers, probably.
We'll talk about this. Yeah, it's not going to be as casual as this.
Okay.
Well, I mean, we're all over the map, but we always are anyway, and that's part of the appeal.
Well, I'll be more serious. I'll have notes prepared. I'd like the questions in advance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always hated that when people wanted questions in advance.
Is that
what do you think I'm going to ask you?
Is that how our president operates?
What are you doing?
Hey, no matter what side of the party you're on, we all know that.
I'd love to be that alert at 82 years old. I'd love to be alive at 62 years old, so I'm not going to rip on a guy.
We won't go there.
Jesus. Frames. That's the red dot theory that Tom Parker always had. You always go where you should. You need to avoid that red dot. Let's go to that red dot. What was I going to say? Questions. It's always like, well, okay, it's not – you'd have like a baseball writer on. They'd be like, what questions are you going to ask me? I don't know, man, about fucking baseball. Isn't that the shit you cover?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I like the guys who say, ask me whatever you want.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put a gun to your head. You're coming on my show, giving up your time.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way it is.
What are you going as for Halloween?
Rowdy Roddy Piper. Although in our new suburb that we live in here in Lomira, nobody's having the Halloween party. Shannon floated the idea about a month ago about us hosting it. She hasn't brought it up since then, and I keep it on the DL because I don't want that mess. I don't want people using my bathrooms. I don't want to be cleaning up for 3 days after 30 people are running through my house. No. No parties. The parties are away games, not home games for Freeman.
There you go.
How about that? I mean, right?
There was a period in college, freshman year, I'd go to house parties and I'd go to the bathroom and I would just pee everywhere.
That's what I thought. That's exactly what I'm trying to avoid. What are you doing for Halloween? You're not going anywhere for Halloween, right?
Well, trick or treating.
Well, your son, that's different.
Trick or treating here is during the Packers Vikings game.
Okay.
So I'm gonna be one of the many dads that are walking around with my kid with a phone in my hand.
Packers might be out of the wild card chase by then.
Yeah, it's true. I probably won't need to pay attention. But I'll do a post game show. So
yeah, no. I know. I catch them. All right. Well, we got it done again.
Chuck and Winkler. Free content.
Free content.
We're just giving you your wildest dreams.
Just giving of ourselves.
All right, Frames.
All right. Talk to you next week on Locked On Brewers.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, so always a tough act to follow is Chuck Freeman. But Spark Guy is going to try to do that here. Spark Guy, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Bart?
So this is the opportunity that you get. I am doing CBS Sports Radio a lot this week into the weekend. And we're talking on Wednesday, and then this is going to air on Thursday. I'll have the first topic that I want to do Wednesday night is about the MLB playoffs and how I think that they're just kind of like stupid, the way that it's set up. So you have the opportunity to sway what I am going to puke out to a nationwide audience tonight. To just refresh where I'm at, I think that the playoffs, first of all, my biggest gripe is 3-5-7-7. Biggest gripe. Hate that part of it. Doesn't make any sense. I also think it's set up in a way where, like, you do want to get the bye, but you're better off not getting the bye and then winning the wild card round. So you might be the Brewers. You might lose. You're done. But if you're the Diamondbacks, you come in with momentum. If you're the Rangers, you come in with some momentum, which I do think exists. And so you're seeing those teams ultimately be the ones that benefit. So I think that where we're at, Mr. Guy, is that we have been trained to think that the best team wins the title, when in baseball, they go out of their way to make sure that doesn't happen. Your thoughts?
Well, I think I come from a position to begin by just thinking the current MLB playoff format is the clearest and bestest iteration of the Major League playoffs that they've had since. Clearest, the best.
So everything I just said, you think is good?
Well, no, I disagree with a lot of the assertions you made, but I'm talking first off, where do we start? Do we like it? Do we don't? I like it. You don't like it. So the thing I do have to ask, though, before I can get into answer, because this is a debate of preference. We're not talking stats. You know what I mean? There's some statistical stuff of like how teams play out. But at the
like
end
how
of
the Orioles have not been swept all season, and then they got swept in the playoffs.
Okay. But I would say, before I get into it, I just do want to ask, like, is your version, because I think I saw you tweet this, is your version that three division winners, one wild card, and then every series is best of seven? Is that your preferred model?
That would be my preferred model. Okay. Yes. Okay. I don't like, if they're going to keep this format, this divisional round has to be seven. I don't get why it's five. Like, if you want to do like, kind of a play-in thing, it's three's better than one. One was horrible. I just don't like, what if this was in basketball where the Bucks had to play a three-game series and then maybe a five-game series and then you play seven? It's like, that sucks. Anyway, so yes, that's my preference.
Well, okay, I get, then we can get into it. Because first off, that sucks. So I'll just start off by saying that the current one's much better. But I would say, I think you're starting to at least get on the right path with the idea that no playoff is fair, like ever. Like I no playoff is ever fair in quote unquote determining the best team. Now, I heard something on your buddy who, between his Jordan Love slander, was also talking this topic, Danny Parkins. But he did have some good stuff. I looked it up myself. If you wanted to say what, you clearly have a better team, right? One team is better than the others. And you want to build a system so that 80% of the time, the better team wins. Because the progression you're talking about would need about that much likelihood to make sure not enough bad teams get in. They said for the NFL, you'd have to play an 11-game series. And for MLB, you'd have to play a 75-game series. So the whole idea of playoffs to begin with, yes, that is how often you would have to play to make sure there's an 80% chance. So if you had a team that's typically like a one seed in the NFL and a four seed or five seed, right? Like a 10-6 team versus or 10-7 team versus a 13-4 team, you'd have to play an 11-game series in the NFL to make sure that that 13-4 team won, which makes sense. Most of those games are like 7-point lines, plus 275, plus 350 for the underdog. Like you'd have to play that many games to then make it fair in the way that most people think it's fair. So I think the relative sense of fairness of the playoff, like that's part of it. The other part I would say is this is MLB. And again, I've gotten a lot of slack for this, but it has the absolute most parity and is the most deserving of a wider playoff system. Think about it this way. Who is the best MLB team? The Braves, right? 104 wins. Who are the worst? The D-backs and the Marlins, 84 wins. That's 64% winning percentage, 52%. If you put that to the NFL, that means the best team in the playoffs is 11-6, and the worst team in the playoffs is 9-8. It's baseball. Like the variance between the best teams and the worst teams is 100 wins and 100 losses. That's, again, for the NFL, that's the difference between like 11-6 and 6-11. It's not as big of a disparity as the NFL or even NBA. So I think that's part of it as well. And like the MLB juggernauts are like the least juggernaut-y. Like it's just the Braves. Like, no, like you're seeing what's happening. And I don't think that's a flaw of the playoff system. That's just baseball, you know? And if you look at the MLB champs though, like some of the stuff I've also heard where there's all these 80 some win teams that are getting hot and winning the World Series. Who are those teams though?
Well, the teams like the Nationals use the wild card to get there, the Phillies.
But I think both those teams were well over 90 wins, weren't they?
I want to be clear that I'm not against upsets. Like I'm not saying I don't need to see the best team. Like if the best team regular season, it's the playoffs should be. You use the regular season to earn the right to play for a championship via the playoffs. And the Packers were a six seed when they won the Super Bowl in 2010, you know, barely getting in. But then they beat those teams that they – like, I feel like you want to talk about the variance. Baseball's the least amount of a sport where you beat someone to win. Like, the Heat, the Miami Heat – they beat the Bucks. Like, that's very clear. They we didn't lose. The Bucks didn't, like, it wasn't fluky. They beat us.
Yeah.
The Packers, when they lose, like, yeah, there's some fluky things that happen in football. A lot of it has to add up. But teams typically beat the Packers when they move on. In the MLB, it's like, I don't know, we hit home runs for two games and Evan Longoria stretched a little bit and we won. So there's more of a, and that's what baseball prides itself on. This whole, like, it's baseball. It only happens in baseball. This sport is already designed to be a crapshoot, and the playoffs only like accentuate that. So if this is the playoff system, the regular season is essentially meaningless. It means very little.
This system makes
you get in
better. This for two things. This format makes the regular season better. And two,
I don't know. The last month of the season was like the Padres went on 7-game win streak and they were 79-82. And they're like, well, maybe we'll get in. Seattle. I mean, So two cities with above average, slightly average teams got a little bit more fun.
That
Marlins skittled their way in. The Diamondbacks backdoored their way in.
That buy's huge. You're seeing
the Diamondbacks were 35-44 from July through October.
And what were the Packers in 2010? And you brought the Packers up. I would argue this, the regular season, right? The regular season. I agree. Generally speaking, if you have a better record in the regular season, you're a better team, generally. But these seasons are ebbs and flows. And I would go to the Packers. 2010 Packers, 10-6, 6 seed. 2011, 15-1, 1 seed. That 2010 team was better than the 2011 team. And why did they go 10-6 rather than 15-1? Well, obviously the Nick Collins injury, but also some of the progression of signings they made and everything else and the schedule. And then Rodgers was injured multiple times in 10. But it, when that playoff started, they were one of the top teams. They deserved to be there. And the NFC title game, they were in Chicago and they were favored. And I'm pretty sure they were favored in the Super Bowl too. They were a 6 seed, but they were favored in almost every game except that Falcon game. And I think they're like 2-point dogs. So my point is, like, you have to look at the scope of things. And I know, again, you're a soccer guy. You know, sometimes you're Shorewood dad, but at the heart of it, you're a soccer guy. And you want to see that standings where everyone has that no drama last day because you already know who the champ is. But the playoffs, I think, are its own thing and are highly valuable. And again, when you go back, let's go to the regular season, because I'm not just dismissing the regular season. I think a big problem that baseball's always had is the regular season. And that was actually exacerbated in before any of the wild card. When you just had one division winner, I mean, I can think back 93, I think I remember the Braves and the Giants took it to the last day. There were a couple of those, but there were instances like the 92 season that I remember real well. Brewers won 90 plus games. They were awesome. They're in the same division as the Blue Jays. That shit was over first week of September. And so if you go even to the three champions and one wild card that you described, there's no bye. So first off, the Braves and the Dodgers were playing games.
Well, okay, so I don't think there's no bye in NHL. There's no bye in NBA. There's exactly. A bye in football. It's nice to have a bye in football. Mm-hmm. Well, even in the NBA now, there is a few days off because of the play-in thing. Mm-hmm. But in baseball, like, you don't want a bye.
You do?
You come in all rusty.
No. Look,
the Baltimore Orioles had a much better season. Texas Rangers, they have a whole week to cultivate vibes. They're playing Creed in the locker room. They're like hot. They're starting to believe. And then they go into Baltimore like, we just beat the Rays. We can do this. And so it builds that confidence. Just like when Eli Manning beat the Patriots in week 17, they build their confidence. They're building confidence. Momentum. What do you do if you're the Braves? You just sit around on your dick for a week?
They're playing the Phillies. Like, this isn't – this. Like, there is absolutely no support in evidence that there's no support that not having a bye. First off, you get a 15% advantage because you don't even have to worry about the first one. Secondly, forget that. Get to the actual matchup. There is no evidence with the way the results have played out that there's a even in NFL, you hear that all the time. Every time a team starts slow in that divisional playoff game and they're at home and they have a bye, that's all they say. But they never talk about the fact that there's been just as many times that teams get healthy or it doesn't matter. So no, like, that is one of the silliest things I've heard in the last few weeks, is when a team like the Rangers that is competently coached, has a lot of depth, and also is just good, goes and beats the Orioles, which one of the Orioles' failings is the starting pitching, and they're very young. And you look at some of those guys that really faltered, how much of that has to do with their ability and their experience than it does having a few days off. I would still go back to the ability thing.
Well, I just – so we could continue this for a long time, but to squeeze it into a tube, I think that the – regular season should put teams, position them so that, like, what you've done in the regular season, like you earn a home game or you earn a bye if it's needed or whatever. I think in baseball, the sport is too quirky and volatile where under this system, the goal is not to find the best. The goal is not to crown a champion that is the best team. It is it is to not crown them as the best team. Almost, it feels like. I'm glad I'm getting this reaction from you. You gave me a real like very.
But then that would be the that would be the sport that's the most difficult to get that result. And secondly, I would argue is also the sport where it's the least clear. Like it's the least clear. Like again, we can talk about the Braves and what's going on with them and how unbelievably historically good they are. They are, but they got some failings and they got some pitching failings and they got some issues with, I've seen enough of these teams. And I think I had heard somebody in the last call talk about it's variance. Offense has a wider variance than pitching. If you have elite pitching, it is pretty rare. And even Burns in that playoff game, right?
He was not Burns, no.
But the variance wasn't absurd. I mean, did he give up four runs?
I gave up solo shots. And
yeah, so he gave up four runs. Like, I mean, it was nothing Brewer fans wanted, but it's not the same as offense. And that's where, like, the Brewers, I disagreed on related, but somebody's saying, like, get away from this pitching thing. Like, pitching is, if you have elite pitching, I would every day of the week go into the playoffs with elite pitching rather than elite hitting, because elite pitching doesn't have the variance that elite hitting does, because you can get 0 and 1 runs with elite hitting. And then you can get 12 or 15, but like the pitching is going to stay much closer and going to keep you toward the lower end. So that's part of it as well. There's a variance involved, and the Braves are an offensive team and they've had great pitching too. That's why they were a juggernaut. That pitching has fallen down. And now the hitting, if it doesn't come through, well, then there's this ridiculous narrative of like they had too many days off. They're too healthy. They're too happy. Like, I don't know. I don't get it.
Well, I wouldn't be talking about this if the Brewers lost, first of all. And second, I probably would still not be talking about it if they just lost this year. It's been 5 out of 6 years of they're 1-8 since, and then they get these. I want the playoffs 27 hours. Bullshit. I invest a whole summer into this shitty fucking team.
Better than the 3 hours that Rodgers used to give you. I mean, like, it's 27 hours. I get it, but I think there should be a lot more anger about the fact that it's on the edges. Like, all of this stuff is on the edges, though, and you want to go into that feeling like you got your best shot, right? And like one or two more bats. And especially this year, you're like, dude, they were loaded with pitching, like one or two bats. And you see what some of these $7 to $10 million flyers can happen on the corners, like corner hitters are out there. You can get them. Again, you look at somebody like Bellinger going into this year, a guy that has a prove it year contract, short porch in right field, great pitching staff. Why do you go to the Cubs? Were the Brewers even involved? I would think if the Brewers were involved and they had a $16 million check, why?
Well, do we?
Why?
The $16 million. It's Cody Bellinger. It's not Andrew McCutcheon.
Yeah. But that's what he made this year. He made $16
million. Yeah, well, Mark only does it for Andrew McCutcheon, not for.
But that's it, right?
Cody Bellinger.
Like, yeah, I don't know. It's all, I think that's the issue.
But the other thing, you think Bob Uecker should retire?
Yes. Yes.
Now, if you want to say he lost his fastball, that's fine, but.
And again, I'm going to come across as a hater. I do get concerned about it, though. Like I said, he's got
Bob Uecker is the only reason. Like, I think AI is awful and is going to destroy things. But I would like if you could put Lane Grendel's voice and then kick Bob Uecker's voice out. Like if Lane talked and then we heard Uecker, I think that would be fine. I'd be okay with that. I mean, we just want to hear you. It's a voice, man. You know.
I mean, I just look at, and I have a family member that's a big Dodger fan. So whenever I'm over there, they're listening to Dodgers and stuff. You see how the Vin Scully thing played out, and like he is getting slower. And that's, I mean, first off, the guy's in great shape. Like, I mean, he's always been that way. Like, even in the 70s and 80s, like he's fit, he's active. But there is an element of, again, I spent a lot of the last month listening, being on the road and stuff. And like, it is a precipitous drop off. And to go into next season without any plan or any kind of true downscale. But again, I don't think that's appropriate. I think it's just time, you know, and seeing how Scully played out and then seeing how Corso played out. My concern is that when it's obvious, it's obvious to me, it's obvious. I think it would be obvious to any neutral observer that listens to somebody that 5-6 innings, If it's your childhood, I get that. You don't want to hear it. But the decline has been big. And it's been exacerbated by the pace of play. Like, he can't meander. He can't talk, which is the things that people liked. Yeah. But he's losing focus. And he's also, yeah, it's not a good look. So I just don't want to see him end up like, I mean, the Lee Corso thing is just depressing every week. Like, I just don't understand that. But I don't want to see it rise to that level. So get ahead of it.
Spark Guy, appreciate your time.
God bless.
Very compelling, good stuff from Spark Guy. I still, the buy is too much for me. And I just think it's, you play 162 games. You're playing every day. You're playing 28 out of 30 times in a month. And then they ask you to take a week off longer than an All-Star break. I don't know. I think there is a better way. I don't think this is the best way to crown a champion and give the measure of, like, you don't earn anything. What do you earn? You earn the chance to have two home games a week after the season ends, and you have to play a hot team. And whoever you play is going to be hot because they just won a series. They're hot. So I don't like it. You know what I do like? As far as gummies. You kidding me? CBD CBN ones, they are the purple ones. Get them in the 40 pack. You can get them if you don't. I'm telling you about different gummies at happyplacehemp.com, and some of them, like, the best thing about these is you can try them, and it's like fun to try. And so you get the sampler pack, and then you see, okay, what does it do? How does it affect me? How do I enjoy these? And then the ones that you decide you like the most, whether you like to take a Delta 8 and, you know, okay, start to feel good, or you want to feel a little more sooner with maybe a Delta 9 or whatever you want. You can kind of play around with that, get a sampler pack, and then figure out what you like and go from there. They will ship it to you no cost, discreetly. They have a very quick turnaround time from where they make all this stuff in Muskego. You can visit them and say Bart Winkler Show. They'll give you the code. They'll give you the discount. Otherwise, if you do it online, happyplacehemp.com, 25% off each and every order for these gummies and other products. happyplacehemp.com. Hot Take Jake tried to leave a Carl's Place voicemail, carlofet.com/Bart, but he's in London for some reason. He stayed up very late. He watched the Packer game. Monday Night Football in London puts him up at like 3-4 in the morning. So no voicemail, but he did leave me a video message on X. Here's Jake.
Packers, I stayed up till about 4:15, 4:30 a.m. here, so just to see you do whatever the shit that was. So you guys are on my shit list right now. There's a big F you for that. Secondly, I wanted to talk about the segment with Grant, Paul, and Bart. First of all, I love you, Grant, but I'm not sure that you actually watch Packers if you think that Josiah DeGuara can't play, or just every time he's in the game, bad shit happens. It's actually quite the opposite. Every time that dude gets in the game, puts his hat into somebody's numbers, puts them on their ass. Every time he touches the ball, it seems like they get a first down. So I think they actually need to use him more. But
okay, well, first of all, let me interject. Your name, you go by Hot Take Jake, and you have Josiah DeGuara takes? Now, that is a hot take, that they should use him more. I forget he's on the team. Ben Sims in one play has had a better career than Josiah DeGuara. I would push back on that one, HTJ. All right, let's go back to London, where we have boots on the ground.
Man has irrational takes after a bad loss like that. Secondly, this baseball manager discussion. For somebody who spent 3 years at a big league clubhouse, I tell you, the amount of times I actually saw a manager address his team could probably count it on one hand. And the amount of times that I saw an assistant coach, a hitting coach, talk to any member of the team is a big fat goose egg. Zero. Easiest job in sports. Those guys go into their own little dressing room and drink beer all day. So good for them. You can get the job. Why not? Lastly, it's Dame time. Bucks fans chill out. They're like pissed off that Dame's not playing in the preseason. Giannis isn't playing in the preseason. It's going to come. they're building up the chemistry behind the scenes, so we shouldn't worry. My last take is going to be about Giannis maybe biting off more than he can chew. I know everybody's like excited, like, oh, look at the defensive assignments. But one thing that does give me some pause is that Giannis probably has the worst combination whistle in the league. And what I mean by that is on offense, he gets called for, you know, terrible charges. And every time he runs or gets into the lane, gets into the paint, he's getting hammered with no calls. Then on defense, it's like if he gets physical at all, it, you know, it's like they're trying to foul him out. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens there. But that maybe grass is always isn't always greener type situation. But anyways, going to head back into the hotel here. Get ready. Heading to a concert tonight. Love you, Winklerverse. We'll see you guys soon.
First of all. All right. Hot take Jake from London. Great to hear from him. Splashsports.com. There is a weekly pick'em pool. We're going to do it again. We had about 100 people in the first couple weeks. Now we're dicking around with like 30 or 35 of you. But I'm staying loyal. You stay loyal. I'll stay loyal. And I haven't won yet. So, fuck, I got to keep doing this till I win. Splashsports.com/Winkler. And you should be able to enter. You can enter up to 3 times now this week. $5 entry, winner take all. Thanks to Spark Guy for jumping on with me. Thanks to Freems. You can check that out on the Dan Shaney YouTube stream. And, yeah, fun week so far, even though the Brewers suck. The Packers don't play for another month. And the Bucks don't play for another couple of weeks. But we keep chugging along. Have a good one. As Jake says, see ya.
If you only have a 401k, you're not getting the most for retirement.
Wait, what?
Add a Robinhood IRA on top, then they'll boost it by 3%.
You can do that?
And if you transfer in any retirement account, you get 3% on top of that.
Is there a limit to the match?
No limit. Robinhood Gold gets you the biggest contribution match of any IRA on the market. Sign up for Robinhood Gold at Robinhood.com/boost by April 30th. Subscription fees apply.
Investing involves risk. 3% match requires gold for 1 year from first match. Must keep IRA for 5 years. Match on transfers subject to additional terms and conditions. Robinhood Financial LLC. Member SIPC.